Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys. Welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hours. I'm Kobe Miller. We got the professor, Richard Hoskins, in the studios.
Shout out to Gaffney, South Carolina.
Sorry, I'm just going to jump in for a quick second. That was a low-energy intro.
Okay, I'll pick it up.
No, come on. Come on, give us something now. Come on. We're going to redo this now. This is good as still all be in, but redoing it, come on.
I can give it a shot.
Give us some energy, Richard.
All right, welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. In the house tonight, we've got the man himself, Kobe Miller, and I am the professor, Richard Hoskins.
Okay. So the first segment, guys, is going to be me teaching you guys how to do a radio intro. I've
never done this before.
I know, which is why I'm here to teach you. As the radio professional, I'm here to teach you guys.
What was wrong with mine?
You forgot his whole tagline.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of running a different role tonight.
Yeah. So show host / legal counsel, Kobe Miller.
There you go.
And then you pause and you let him say.
That's...
No, you pause for a second. Okay. Kobe says,
What's going on, everyone?
Okay. And then I go, we have the man himself, the man with the numbers, the professor, Richard Hoskins.
You're good at this.
It's like I do this for a living.
I know. I can tell.
So I guess we got to explain why it's the three of us in here.
That would be fitting. Kobe, you want to take this one?
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a special call-in guest tonight, and... With that being said, our boy Rob Pitts is out in Vegas at the world-renowned SEMA.
You know, I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah, really.
Like, I kind of despise him. Because, you know, he's in Vegas. It's sunny. It's cold.
It's probably not sunny
right now.
It actually
is cold out there.
It's cold in Vegas.
Yes.
It's nighttime, so yeah, it's probably not sunny.
Okay, well, actually, no. When we're recording this, it's still daytime.
Yeah, they're 3 hours behind us.
So yeah, it's still daytime for like another hour over there.
Do they do daylight savings time?
Yes.
Okay.
But it is cold out there right now.
Wait.
I wouldn't say cold, but very cool.
Oh, hold
not
up.
Like this.
Do they do daylight savings time?
Right.
He does numbers, not globes.
If we do daylight savings time in South Carolina, then we have to, as a whole nation, under God... Do the same thing.
That is not true. They're actually talking about in South Carolina doing away with it, which would cause problems. I get what you're saying.
But. Yes, but like what I'm saying is right now is, yes, they partake in it. Everyone does. I have not heard a case where anyone has gone away from daylight savings time. This has nothing to do with hot rods or a happy hour. But actually, no, this has to deal with a happy hour because this is an hour either forward or behind.
Well, and it probably is happy hour in Vegas right now.
It is. Every time it's happy hour in Vegas. Let's be real here.
Go into the casino,
it's
get
Vegas.
Free drinks. Exactly.
So he's over in SEMA right now.
Yes.
Well, I've never been, nor do I know anything about SEMA.
It is an auto trade show. It's the biggest auto trade show in the world. So it's not really a car show, but it is to... recognize and to showcase the aftermarket availability of things, all things automotive.
And on top of that, that's how it started out, but then it turned into having cars and car shows and different builds and build-offs and everything else in SEMA itself, and it became this massive, massive five-day event.
Is it basically just a giant celebration of cars?
Yes.
Pretty much. So, and not only cars, and anything related to cars, whether it's wheels, tires, stickers, windshield wipers, anything automotive.
Detailing, all that stuff. You know, wrapping.
Wrapping, engine mods, exhaust, you name it, front to back, up, down, it's there. Even keychains.
It's an industry event.
Yep.
So, like, I can only imagine how many times Rob has mentioned a C4 Corvette.
Pr- Probably zero.
No, let's be real here.
No, I'm serious. Probably zero out there.
Well, it's
come
not,
on.
It's not current. So
no, I'm not talking like walking around talking to people about C4 Corvettes. I'm saying like he gets into a story time mode, and it just so happens that he talks about a C4 Corvette.
He's probably telling a lot of stories out there because he's meeting like all the people from all the shows and all. Well, he already knows them, but
yeah,
he's talking to all those people. So yeah, I mean, just looking at the lifetime of Rob Pitts, I'd say it might come up.
How much product do you think he's carrying around with him? Because let's be real here, it sometimes gets hot in Vegas, and under the lights, he might be sweating. He might need to re-up with product.
Well, it's one of them things. What he's doing is, you know, you're walking around from booth to booth to booth to booth.
Yeah.
These people are already set up. So as he's walking, yeah, he's talking to some of these people inside these booths, but I don't think he's bringing any extra product for his hair.
Oh, no. I was saying for his hair, probably.
No.
He's probably got a little tube in his jacket or something.
He's got to make sure it looks good.
Because I'm sure he's wearing a shop shirt right now and probably a Hot Rods and Happy Hour jacket, which do have...
Cut jeans.
Yeah. And the Hot Rods and Happy Hour jackets do have good pockets.
They do. I made specifically that they have
nice
pockets.
Yeah, you did great.
Sorry to derail the whole first segment about what SEMA is and what where Rob is.
Well, that's great. I think it's a fitting it's a fitting bring in to our show. We're going to talk about some other stuff in a little bit, but I don't think that it's probably fallen on deaf ears that in fact Rob is not here.
I can't tell. Like I'm here in studio and I can't tell that he's gone. There's a Christmas tree in the studio that will be Rob Pitts for the rest of the evening.
I'm trying to figure out. We've been doing this a long time, and they didn't have a Christmas tree in here last year. Why is this Christmas tree in here?
I don't know.
Somebody got very festive around
here. Look, I support...
Can I set it outside?
No, we cannot. I support a lot of decisions, and 99% of decisions that Intercom Communications makes, because I'm a great employee. I'm very adamant about my Christmas celebration starting much later than this. Because we're recording this, you know, when we usually do, and it's still very early in November.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, too, the poor Christmas tree here, he's missing all kinds of lights. Like, the top is blank and the middle's blank, but you got...
It's an inside-out tree.
You just assume that tree's gender.
Well, yeah, it's a he. You can tell. He's all mixed. He's like, all mixed matched.
It's a plastic tree. How can you tell?
He's all mixed matched. A man put that tree up. If a female put that tree up, it would look a heck of a lot better than that. I can tell you that now.
Yeah, I got to say the ornaments are not really spaced evenly.
And then like the lights, a woman would never let that fly.
You're probably right.
Patrick, did you put up that tree?
No, I did not.
That is a huge
tree. I would not do anything like that. Again, I celebrate Christmas much later than this.
I wouldn't either. I hate Christmas trees. I had a girlfriend that insisted that I get a real tree 1 year, and I want to stress 1 year because I don't. Ugh.
Cleaning up a real tree is just a pain.
Everything about a real tree is a pain.
Sad part is
except setting it on fire.
We do 4 real trees at my house every year.
That's
4
insane.
4.
Why?
Don't ask me. It's against... I don't... When it comes to decorating, it's
you're out.
I'm out. I will literally get on the ladder and put the lights up, and that is it.
You're probably not out when it comes to putting those trees up.
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, that's cool. I might reconsider if that was an option.
Yep, I will not do it. No. I will get on the ladder on the high part and put the lights up. Other than that, nope, out. My house literally looks like Santa Land.
Yes, no.
I'm talking everywhere you look, I don't care if you even go into the bathroom or the spare bathroom. There's something to do with Christmas. I'm like, oh, my God.
I just put a bowl of candy canes on the table.
I do good enough just to put a tree up.
I'm just ready for Thanksgiving.
I don't do trees.
I'm ready for Thanksgiving.
We all are. Look, I'm going to cut weight here in a little bit to prepare for Thanksgiving meals.
I need to do that same thing.
You got to prep. You got to juice cleanse, you know?
Yeah, it does make sound sure. Pretty good. We're going to have to get into a commercial break here real quick, Richard.
Got to pay the bills.
Yes, sir. Stay tuned right here on 106.3 WORD.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. In the studio tonight, we've got the man himself, Hot Rods and Happy Hour's legal counsel and all-around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, Richard?
And then we got the producer, the man that makes the magic happen, Patrick.
Do you not know my last name?
I forgot it.
It's Brown.
I know.
Okay.
We need to give you a nickname.
I'm Patty Cakes.
FJ.
Not that.
Patty FJ.
P-Mac.
You're not a P-Mac. We're just going to start calling you the boss.
Puppet Master.
Puppet Master. You are the Puppet Master.
There we go. I'm the one that controls the strings.
By the way,
the guy talking is the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
I'm not used to introducing myself.
Well, I know.
What's going on? How about a shout out to the biggest little city in the world, Reno, Nevada?
There you go. Much better.
What are we talking about tonight, Kobe?
I think we ought to kick it off and talk more about what we left off last week. Not necessarily Volkswagens, but small cars.
Yeah,
road race cars, sporty cars.
I wasn't here last week.
You weren't?
No, I wasn't here.
We talked about the best vehicle ever made.
Which was? C4 Corvette.
Volkswagen.
Beetle?
All of them.
We made it up to the water pumpers.
We made it all the way up to the water pumpers.
Well, I mean, I think one of the, obviously the more popular vehicles of Volkswagen has now, at least in this day and age, become the bus.
Well, yeah.
The Volkswagen bus is, especially nowadays.
That's the Type 4.
It's the trendy vehicle.
Well, it's the holy grail of Volkswagens.
Yeah.
You might as well say. Well, but we're not talking about Volkswagens this week. We're talking about small fun cars. Yep, like Mazda Miatas.
Honda CRX.
Fiats. All the cool little cars that a lot of guys make into little road race cars, or not necessarily drag cars, because they ain't drag cars.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun mountain cruising.
Some of them are. My first new car was a SRT4.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about like a lot of your mountain cruisers, convertible two-seat roadsters,
cars
stuff
that
like that.
Turn and go fast and...
Exactly.
Anything, really. But you know, in America, in the United States, we started with the small car craze probably in the early to mid-60s.
Yeah, for sure.
Before then, everything was just, make it bigger, make it longer, make it more comfortable.
Yep.
And now I feel like we've kind of gone the complete opposite in today's age. Everybody wants some things to be bigger, but for the most part, I want it smaller, compacter, and like...
But more room inside.
Exactly.
Exactly. I want 8,000 square foot in a 16-foot room.
Right.
It's just one of the more deals. But when it comes to small car road racing, I got a great story for that. It would just happen about 5 years ago, I guess. A great buddy of mine, he was restoring and rebuilding a 65 Fastback 350 GT.
Mm-hmm.
He calls me up. He says, "Hey, you got a big truck?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Take me down to Year One in Atlanta." I said, "Cool, road trip."
Sounds like a fun trip.
Exactly. I said, "Cool, sounds good." He goes, "I got another friend that wants to go." I said, "Well, more the merrier. That's fine." Well, we head off. We get down to Year One. We're hanging out. It was about this time. It was nice and cool. I had on one of my racing jackets where, I race super late model, stuff like that. I had that on, and the guy was at year one, started asking me a bunch of questions, and I was telling him about it or whatever, and he's like, you know, Road Atlanta's going on today. He goes, you ever been to Road Atlanta? I said, well, I've raced Road Atlanta in late models, but never a regular car. He said, well, you ought to go down there and check it out. He said, it's... I said, cool. I looked at them. I said, Sammy, Frank, y'all want to go to... Yeah. Well, the back of my truck is filled with parts, and across the front windshield, it says Miller Motorsports. Well, we come rolling up to the guard shack. This guy comes out. He looks at us. I guess he sees my jacket, sees the thing. He hands us lanyards. I'm like, okay. He gets on a golf cart and takes us into the pits.
That's pretty cool.
Now, per se, we ain't supposed to be in the pits. Well, we're walking around the pits with our lanyards that, like, we're supposed to be there. And I'm talking to a couple people, and a guy has a open wheel road race car. Got talking to the guy, and he's like, yeah, have you ever drove one of these? I said, no, I've done some late model racing out here. He's like, would you like to take it for a spin? I said, do what? He's like, yeah, see if you can fit down in it. He said, it's pretty tight. I'm not a big guy. I was like, sweet. I'm gonna fit in this thing somehow, some way.
Shoehorn.
He goes, do you have a suit with you? I said, matter of fact, I do. I went and got my suit out of the truck and my helmet, and he let me drive his open wheel vintage race car at Road Atlanta.
It's pretty cool. What powered it?
It actually was a some kind of four cylinder. I'm not 100% sure. I know it was four cylinder, but that thing was quick for being, pretty much a tub.
Yeah, it weighs 900 pounds.
Exactly.
I drove Road Atlanta one time in a 91 Ford Taurus SHO. And what I learned, especially driving a regular car on a racetrack, is you don't realize how heavy your car is until you're slinging it at close to 100%.
Yes. Now, I ran Road Atlanta in a Supra, which was insane. That car was twin turbo. I mean, it was insane. That was almost like a death trap waiting to happen at Road Atlanta. But Road Atlanta was a great fun course. And that's like Frank and them could not believe this guy gave me his vintage open wheel car to drive, and I never even knew the guy.
It's pretty wild.
It was awesome.
But that's what it's all about, you know. I mean, you know, I let everybody drive my cars. I mean,
yeah.
Can't, you know, it's not fun if your buddies can't enjoy it.
Yeah, but I didn't know this dude.
Well, still.
He didn't know me. I didn't know him, but
your buddies now.
We're buddies now. And actually, we are Facebook friends. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And that was just all on a whim. That was just by going down to Atlanta to year one to get some parts and ended up driving an open wheel race car.
That's how it happens, man. It's wild.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a lot of fun. What's your favorite little road race car, if you could pick one?
Well, I mentioned the SRT4s. I like them, but honestly, they are, believe it or not, a little heavy, really. You can lighten them up, but those cars weigh at about 3,100 pounds. I don't know. I mean, I like Hondas. I had a Prelude for a while, Prelude SI. And when I was much younger, that was my pizza delivery car so that I didn't have to drive my Mustang everywhere. But I don't know, man. Let me think about that over this commercial break. And I don't know. I'm going to have to chew on that one for a little bit.
I think I got a good one. Stay tuned, guys. We're right here at Hot Rods and Happy Hours on 106.3.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. In the studio tonight, we've got the man, the myth, the legend himself, Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel, and all-around cool car guy, Mr. Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
Then we also got the producer, the man that makes it happen, Patrick Brown. That was a joke.
No, okay. I thought you were going to do like Patrick the Puppet Master Brown. I would be like, ooh, I like that.
All right, we will keep that in mind.
But since you're not doing the cities, Richard.
All right.
I'd like to give a shout-out to my wife's hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati.
Great chili up there.
Is that where the Buckeyes are?
No, that's that was Columbus.
That was a good TV show.
What?
The Cincinnati...
WKRP?
Yeah.
Yeah, that building. Every time that we go back to Michigan, we pass by that building, and you can see it from the highway.
You're thinking of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
That's where Ohio State plays.
I'm a Michigan fan, so I don't really care.
Neither do I.
Not a big Buckeyes fan?
No, I hate the Buckeyes.
All right. So last
Sorry
segment.
To all of our Ohio State fans, by the way, out there. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this isn't something I'm passionate about. But
oh, I am.
Go blue. So last segment, Kobe, you were asking, we were talking about not necessarily road race cars, but cars that are just fun to drive on a track. And
well, not only track, mountains, yeah, everywhere. Just
curvy.
Yep.
And I remembered back in 2006 when I was working at the local Mazda dealership, one of the most fun cars I've ever driven that I would love to drive somewhere other than around the Lawrence Road area was a Mazda RX-8.
I knew a girl that used to have one of them.
It has a 9,000 RPM red line, and it beeps to tell you to shift.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I knew I dated her, and she had one, but I actually never drove it because we always took my vehicle.
Very, very, very agile. Not fast, but anything that goes to 9,000 RPMs, I mean, you can get some pretty good momentum.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, actually, the first day that I worked at the Mazda dealership, the owner said, you know, go out and get yourself acquainted. You know, drive all the cars, get to know them. Well, the first thing I did is I drove a Mazda Speed 6, then the RX-8, and then a Miata. But when I was driving the RX-8, came back and everything was fine. The owner of the dealership came, who is a very, very talented race car driver, by the way. I don't know if I can mention the name of the dealership or not. But,
yeah, he is.
He
local.
Is a very accomplished race car driver. Came into my office, and he said, were you just driving the black RX-8? And I said, yes, sir, I was. He said, did you go on so-and-so road? And I said, yes, sir. He said, don't take that road anymore. He said, somebody called the police on you.
That is funny. It's just a test drive.
Yeah, really. I was just getting acquainted.
I'm just dogging it out just a little bit. That would be your sales pitch. Trust me, this car does great at 9,000 RPMs. I have proven it.
Yeah, I got the good out of that one.
I could see you trying to sell that car going, look, the little bit of ball tires in front, don't worry about them. But it will steadily climb at 9,000 RPMs. I've held it there.
I've seen it happen.
Over and over and over.
All right, so what is your Canyon Carver?
You know, like I said, I've never drove one, but I would like to. I would, on looks, not necessarily handling, and I've never drove one. I love the S2000s. I've always loved the way they look.
Yeah, they're cool cars, and they do handle unbelievably.
But I've never got to drive one, but eventually I want to.
Yeah, that's another one that you just really got to beat the hell out of it. But if you do, it's quite rewarding.
But probably, now I have drove a little Lotus, a friend of mine.
Oh, really?
He has a Lotus, and I've driven it. And that's a fun little car to drive. They're not reliable probably per se, but
the new ones are. They have Toyota engines.
But it is a fun little car to drive.
That essentially is a race car.
Yeah, his is. But he's done a lot of suspension work to his and a couple other little mods, and it is a lot of fun to drive.
It's like a go-kart.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. But it is a fun little car.
What about you, Patty? You always going to be a
FJ cruiser kind of guy?
You always going to be into girls' SUVs?
Well, okay. I'm the type of guy, look, I'm 6'1", 265 pounds. Okay, I'm a bigger male. Fitting into those tiny cars does nothing for me. I remember I test drove a Chrysler 200, and my knee.
That's not a tiny.
That's not a
car.
Tiny car.
No, that
to me that's
no,
a,
that's a full size sedan. My dad owns one.
I was gonna say your dad owns one.
to me, that's a tiny car.
That is not a tiny car. It's a full size sedan.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a four-door sedan.
Look, to me, it was a tiny car.
It doesn't handle very well either.
And they don't handle power.
No, I personally, I understand the craze of tiny cars. But for me, it's something I never really got into because I could never fit in them.
So if something happens to your FJ, what are you going to get?
Probably a truck. Yeah. Like, that's just the way I am. My first car that I ever drove was a Toyota Tacoma.
Now that's a small truck. That's
not any bigger. Yeah, that's the same size as a Chrysler 200.
I've had a lot of Tacomas, and they are small. And I'm 6 foot. They are small, and no, I'm not a big guy.
No, well, again, keep in mind, this was in high school. Like, this was like middle and high school. I grew another 3 or 4 inches in college.
You were probably
like
my size then.
I was a little heavier, but probably. Yeah, I was about
thank
your,
you.
I was about your size, your height.
I appreciate that.
But then, like, I only drove that car for like 3 or 4 months, and then I had to swap over to my dad because my dad had he still has a demolition and site work company, but one of his employees had ALS, and he found it that the Tacoma was a much easier truck to get in and out of every day. So he's like, can my employee have, you know, your truck? And I'm like, he was a family friend. So I was like, absolutely. Like, whatever to make his life easier, go ahead. And my dad was like, well, you can drive the Suburban until we kind of figure out, you know, what car you should get. So I had to drive around a Suburban for a year.
You went from a Suburban to an FJ.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What's your point?
I don't know. I mean,
dude, at that point, the FJ was like a golf cart.
You know, okay? You keep going around the mountains.
I guarantee yeah. It was. Speaking about, you were talking about shorter and smaller. Today, I was working on Richard and his father's car. Well, I go to O'Reilly to exchange a part that they messed up on. And the guy in there goes, I know him. He's the little fella. And I started laughing.
Damn.
The O'Reilly guy knows you as the little fella. I'm just being.
Did you correct him and say no? That's the professor.
No, I just started laughing and I just started laughing.
Well, they're bound to know who it is because they're ordering parts for an 80 Chrysler Cordoba.
Exactly. But he goes, yeah, that's the little fella. He just said it just like that. I mean, with a straight face and all, and I'm like, yeah, that's him.
Awesome.
Yeah, so you're known at O'Reilly's as the little fella.
What about the little fella that works there? He really is a little fella. The young guy who had the blue Mustang at the Traveler's Rest show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm bigger than him.
I don't think he works there anymore.
He did last week.
Oh, does he?
Okay. I mean, I don't know what has changed between now and then. But
well, I haven't seen him there
anymore. Okay.
So for me, like, I've only ridden in a few small cars, and the most popular one, obviously, if I'm correct on this assessment of it, was the Volkswagen Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we counting that as a small car?
It is a small car.
Well, it is a small car, but are you talking about
This is old school.
Okay.
Air cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is,
yeah.
New ones are water cooled.
Yep. Yeah. This is old school diesel. By the way.
Well, they weren't diesel.
They weren't diesel.
Rabbits were.
The rabbits were.
Really?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Rabbits were, and the little trucks were.
Hmm.
Cadillacs.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm learning something new every day.
There you go, man. This is why, you know, when look, Rob's not here, we start learning.
You start breaking things down. Like, I can ask questions, and I don't feel stupid by it.
Since we don't have the entertainment factor and the star factor, we're just sitting here learning.
Yes. And last week, you would have learned a lot, Patrick, because me and Richard went on a Volkswagen.
I need to go back and listen to the podcast of it, which, by the way, you can find on iTunes. I need to go back and listen to the podcast because I know I'm missing a lot of stuff here. And
because you're upstairs.
To be honest, a lot of the stuff, you know, pretty much all the shows here, I usually have a subscription to on the podcast form. That way, if I do miss something that I genuinely want to hear, I'll go and listen to it while I'm driving to work.
Well, we had a really good show last week. I actually
it was fun.
I listened to it, and it was very good.
I haven't listened to it, but it was fun.
You know what? I might listen to a little bit while we're taking this commercial break.
Sounds good.
Already. All right, folks. Stay tuned. We got plenty more Hot Rods and Happy Hour coming up here on
106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back into Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is your automotive host with the most, Rob Pitts, here. And in the studio, as always, we got the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
Shout out to Sacramento, California.
That's what I'm talking about. Sacramento.
Sac-town.
Home of the Kings and nothing else. So I'm screaming. And as always, we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour, legal counsel, and unofficial, but probably official, Volkswagen fanboy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
Now, Kobe, we were talking a little bit about...
I'm sorry, I had to pick up on all the Rob mannerisms. They were saying that I do the intro, and I was like, what better way than do a Rob Pitts intro?
That was a pretty good one.
For just a minute, man. It's like...
I had my eyes closed.
It's like our leader was here.
I had my eyes closed for a second, and
I needed to spike my hair up a little bit more than I've been... I needed shades. I needed sunglasses.
Yeah.
I think sunglasses would have been the...
That sounded so good, I almost lit up a cigarette right here in the studio.
Like we were outside?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, having a good time. But, Kobe, we're talking about small cars.
Yep.
Now, I don't think I heard this story, but, like, what drew you guys into being fascinated with small cars?
Well, not necessarily fascinated about small cars.
Appreciative.
Appreciative, yes. My first car was a Volkswagen, as we talked about last week. Richard's had small cars. I've had a bunch of small cars. I've had some Honda Civics. I've had CRXs and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're fixing to get into. The forgotten small car, like the Honda CRX, RX-7. A lot of your small forgotten cars.
Yeah, and these are cars that all still have, you know, a real following, but...
And they're still worth a lot of money.
Well, they're going up. They don't make anything like that today.
No.
You know, like a CRX had a whopping 108 horsepower, but it's one of the most fun cars in the world.
Yeah, it only weighed what?
1,800 pounds, I think.
I don't even think it weighed that much. The SIs, I don't think they only weighed about 1,400 and something.
I think they were a little more than that, but either way, they were light.
Yeah, very light, a lot of horsepower.
And just had...
Short wheelbase.
Along with, like, the Integras and things like that, had handling that belied a front-wheel drive chassis. You know, their front-wheel drive cars aren't notorious for being great handling, but just some of those little cars are just so light and agile, they could just do things. They were giant slayers.
Yes. Like, my little Honda CRX SI, it was a 91. I absolutely love that little car. It was so fun to drive, great gas mileage, you know, the whole kit caboodle. I mean, nowadays, kids in high school, they're driving BMWs, new big trucks, SUVs. They didn't know what it was like to have a little gas saver car, because now they got their mom and daddy's credit card to pay for gas, where we had to work for a living to pay for our own gas.
Yeah, yeah, man, talking about high school, Patrick, you're talking about little cars. My first car was a 1986 Chevy Cavalier. I reckon it got good gas mileage, but it wasn't really good at literally anything else.
It was a Cavalier.
Yeah, and when I got it, it had bullhorns on it, and it said Mustang across the windshield.
Really?
It was my grandfather's car.
Oh, okay.
My grandfather was a very strange man.
Huh, yeah. Now, Cavalier did have... What was that?
Z24.
There you go. Now, that one was pretty quick.
They were respectable for their day. You know, if you were cross-shopping, like a Dodge Shelby Charger or something like that, you know, that would have been another car that you would have looked at. And, you know, as the owner of a four-cylinder 86 Cavalier at the time, I worshipped them.
Yeah. And then another car that's kind of forgotten is what, the Chevy Beretta?
Yeah, Beretta. Beretta and Beretta GT, Beretta Z26.
Yeah.
Beretta Indy.
I had a friend of mine that had a Beretta Z26 or whatever it was. That was a pretty cool little fun car.
They were cool cars. They did a lot of different ones. You know, they always had some quote-unquote special one. But they did make, in, I believe, around 91, 92, they had a Beretta GTZ that had a 2.3-liter quad-4 twin-cam engine that was putting out like 180, 185 horsepower. That's out of a non-turbo four-cylinder.
That is a lot.
Yeah, and 30 years ago.
Yeah. Another cool car a friend of mine had in high school was a Ford Probe GT.
Those are cool.
I wanted a Ford Probe GT. They're very good-looking cars.
Yeah, they were. They were sharp. Especially the second generation, but the first generation was faster.
Yeah. They were really cool cars.
But that's a good example of a forgotten one. The Beretta, too. I mean, I guess they got their followers kind of like Muratas do. Well, maybe not.
All six of them?
Maybe not exactly like Muratas do. But, yeah, those are cars that most young people today are like, what?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's like when you're, you know, riding around your Murata, people don't really realize what it is. A lot of people probably mistake it a lot of times for what?
What's that Ford that kind of looks like at Fairmont?
Fairmont. That's what I was fixing to say.
And then I have to smack those people.
I've seen a guy. Matter of fact, on the way to O'Reilly's today to get your parts, I actually seen a Ford Fairmont broke down on the road. I did.
And so many Ford jokes.
Yeah, but no, it was broke down on the side of the road. And it actually one of the local towing companies, and I actually waved at him and honked. But yeah, it was kind of funny.
I'm surprised they didn't just leave it.
It was actually a very good-looking one.
Was it?
Yeah.
Old cars break.
Yeah, they do. I mean, all of them do. What is probably one of your favorite forgotten cars?
Dodge Shelby Charger.
I knew you were going to say that.
My brother had one when he was in high school and I was in middle school. And he painted it plum crazy purple and silver. It was burgundy and silver from the factory. And it had, like, what to us kids at the time we thought it was, like, tricked out. It had a Flowmaster exhaust, Canon air filter, split fire spark plugs, you know, the big stuff. And it was, you know, I was in middle school and I got my license. He still had it. And I used to, when he was away at college, I used to drive it and the thing just, talk about fun.
Now, you know, us here at Hot Rods and Happy Hour, we make fun of the Mazda RX-7.
Yes, we do.
But at the end of the day, that is a very fun little car.
It's a brilliant car.
It is a very fun car to drive.
They're just unbelievably unreliable.
Yes, but unbelievably powerful.
Yeah.
For their little power plant and what they are.
What's funny is the first ones had a 1.1 liter or 1.3 liter. I think the first ones were 1.1 liter. I could be mistaken. I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong. With a four-barrel carburetor, and they got like 14 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, and a very to-do family in our small town, their son actually got one when they first come out, and everybody was kind of jealous of them. I was kind of, too, because that was a cool little car.
I think it might have been Car of the Year the first year that it was introduced.
His was black interior. You know, it was a sharp little car. I mean, that thing would fly.
Yeah, they're neat. I mean, you know, we joke about them because there's a lot of things about them to joke about. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they really were a brilliantly designed car. And just Mazda really took a lot of chances bringing a car like that to market and to have such success with it.
Now, I'm not the rotary guru, but I remember reading something about the whole rotary system. Still to this day, they really don't understand how that thing really operates, per se.
Not real well.
Yeah.
They have a lot of performance capabilities at high RPMs, but you have to have, they've got like an oil pump that pumps oil into the engine, into the fuel system. Rotaries operate, essentially they've got some number of triangles that sit on top of each other and counter spin, and that creates combustion. But I don't know, maybe talk a little bit more about some rotary engines
right here on 106.3 WORD.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.